Father God, we just thank you. We magnify your name. We thank you for everything that you're doing in our midst today. We thank you, Father, for each and every person that's here. We thank you. You have a plan and a purpose for them. And we thank you, Father, right now, today, as we go to minister your word. We thank you, Father, that your word will not return void, but Father God, that that word will penetrate the hearts and the lives of each and every one of us. And Father God, we just thank you to help us to be doers of the word, not just hearers only. We thank you, Father, that word will be life-changing to us. And Father God, we thank you that we'll take the word of the Lord and we'll go out to the highways and the byways and the people who are down and out and share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. Father God, we thank you for revival to this nation, revival to this generation. We thank you for signs, wonders, miracles, and healings taking place in our midst. And we thank you, Father, today as we go to minister, we come not in our own strength, not in our own power, not in our own might, not in our own ability, but your strength, your power, and your ability that you be lifted up. We thank you that as we go to minister, that they won't see me minister, but they'll see you ministering through me. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that lives big on the inside of us, that leads us, guides us, and shows us the way, gives us utterance to speak with all boldness, the uncompromising gospel of Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you for your anointing that's present tonight. That anointing that changes us, that anointing that heals us, that anointing that sets us free, that anointing that in an instant just makes everything okay. And we thank you that's present tonight. Life-changing things are happening to us. We thank you, Father, for everything you have done and everything you are doing both here and around the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Praise God. God's a good God. Amen. Amen. Well, it's good to be here this week. Me and my dad switched schedules. I was supposed to be here last week. He decided he wanted to be there, so he rules. Okay, so if whatever he decides, he can do. And then he gave me the choice for being here this week or not, because he was supposed to be on the schedule, but I choose to come down here to be with you guys. Amen. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to Nehemiah 8:10, and most of you know what the scripture says. You probably don't read Nehemiah much, but you probably know what the scripture says. I'm going to read from the New Living Translation. As some of you notice, I've been reading more and more from that translation, mainly because it just kind of puts it home for us in the world that we're living. Anyway, it says, Nehemiah 8:10, yes. And it says, and Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. And notice, you know, it says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Not just your joy is your strength, but the joy of the Lord. And basically we need to, or you could say it this way, the joy in the Lord is my strength. And really what Nehemiah is saying, you know what? It's okay to be happy. It's okay to be merry. It's okay to eat it up and drink it up because God's got it. It's all okay. He's there for you. He's there to take care of you. He's there to give us strength and give us wisdom and give us knowledge to face our situation that we're going through. But you know, a lot of times whenever we face challenges and trials, instead of having joy, we have depression. We're trying to figure out, what am I going to do? And like I've said before, if you're asking the question what you are going to do, then your strength is not in God. It's in your own self, because you're trying to figure out what you're going to do. Well, what you need to do is forget about what you're going to do. What you need to do is turn it over to God and say, God, I need help. I need help. But see, your strength comes from, see, people think, well, strength comes from my joy. No, it doesn't come from your joy. It comes from the Lord. Your strength comes from the Lord. It comes from knowing what the Lord's doing on your behalf. And when you know what the Lord's doing on your behalf, you can have joy in the middle of times where it might not be too joyful. Because you know that your God is able. You know that your God is with you. You know that your God is helping you. You know that your God is leading you and guiding you. You know that your God is providing a way. And see, your joy is really in the Lord, and that's, you know, your strength is in the Lord, and that provides joy because your strength is in the Lord. It's God who gives us the strength. It's God who gives us the power, and also him that gives us the joy. You know, some people, you know, they don't really have joy. They have nervous laughter. There are some people, when they're under stress, the way they kind of push it off is they kind of laugh about it. but they're not full of joy, they're full of stress. Just because you laugh about something doesn't mean it's joyful. There are also sometimes when people say things that might be a little offensive to you, and you laugh about it because you don't want them to feel bad, but it kind of was hurtful. That wasn't your strength. Just because you laugh, you're not stronger because you laugh. You're stronger because your strength is in the Lord. All right? You're stronger because you know that your God is able to help you every time. And that's what we have to understand. When we face our most difficult challenges, we need to understand that our God's with us. Jesus said he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So we never face a challenge alone. So if you're not alone, then you can't sit around and be depressed and think about you have nobody to help you. Because you have the greater one to help you. The one that really matters. You know, like I said, people will fail us sometimes. I mean, sometimes, you know, I found out that one time people like to fail you is whenever you move. You know, if you want to know if you really have good friends, then move houses or move apartments or whatever and have a bunch of heavy stuff. So, hey, you know, I got a bunch of heavy stuff and I need help moving. And you'll find out a lot of your friends, oh, you know, I got things to do. You know, I'm sorry, you know, something just popped up. You know, now I understand there are, if you don't give, you know, advanced warning, people do have plans or whatever, but, you know, your best friends will help you move. All right. You know, it's funny, you know, that is, but you know what? God will never leave you no matter what. It doesn't matter if you're in the worst situation. You know, a lot of people, whenever things are going bad, some people don't want to really be associated with you because they don't want to go down with you. But a true friend's always there, no matter what. And the thing about it is you don't focus on what's happening, you focus on your Lord, on that God, your God is able. If I can just believe in him, it'll all be okay. And so because everything's going to be okay, I can have joy in the middle where it seems that I should be, you know, not very happy. Now, you know, here in Nehemiah told everyone, you know, if you have neighbors that they're not happy, they don't have any stuff, then share your stuff with them so they can be happy too. You know, God wants us all to be happy. You know, now, you know, there was a song that was popular a few years ago, Don't Worry, Be Happy. And actually, if some of you might have got one of those fishers or whatever that sung that song, I know my kids bought their granddad one of those fishes. And, you know, and the thing about it is they bought him when he put it in the study. And every time they were in the study, they were over there with their little kids. And so they were there pushing that button over and over and over and over again to hearing that dumb song, Don't Worry, Be Happy. And I know that's not really a Christian song, but I think in a lot of ways, you know, that's what the Lord's saying right here. Don't worry, just be happy. Be happy in the Lord. Be happy. Understand that, you know what? You can be strong even when you feel weak because of the Lord. The Lord will provide. He's going to provide. I mean, you know, remember back in Genesis, whenever Abraham brought Isaac. And, you know, he was willing to sacrifice his own son. And Isaac would say, well, where's the ram or the, you know, the lamb or whatever we're going to sacrifice? And Abraham told Isaac, the Lord's going to provide. The Lord will provide, you know, because I believe the whole time, you know, Abraham really believed the Lord would provide a way. He didn't know how. And he was willing to sacrifice his own son, but the Lord was going to provide a way. And he did. He provided a way. And you need to understand the Lord will provide a way. And even though you don't see how it's going to happen, but it's not about what you see and what you don't see. You just have to put faith in your God regardless of what you see. You know, because I've heard many times people say, well, I don't see how it's going to happen. Well, I don't care what you see. I'm not dependent upon your eyes. You know, you have to understand that your faith is not dependent upon anybody else's eyes, even your own. And not dependent upon, you know, anyone else's, you know, thought pattern. It's depending upon what does God say in the Word. I mean, my grandfather always said this, I'm a stickler for the Word. God's Word works. God's Word works for me. God's Word works for you. There's no respecter of persons. So so whenever he's facing situations, he would go back to, well, what does God's word say? Well, God's word says only believe. God's word says rejoice in the middle of your issues. God's word says that it'll all be okay. God's word says that, you know, that you're the head, not the tail. You're above, not beneath. Now, your situation doesn't look like that. See, but it's not about what your situation looks like. It's about that the joy of the Lord is your strength. That you know what? You can put joy in the Lord even when everybody else is not too joyful about their situation, because your God is in control. Let's look at another scripture that right along this line, over still in the Old Testament, over in Psalms, the 28th chapter. Psalms, the 28th chapter, and look at the 7th verse, reading once again from the New Living Translation. It says this: "The Lord is my strength and shield. I trust him with all my heart." That's the main thing. See, we have to trust the Lord with all our heart. You know, that he has things under control. And it goes on to say, he helps me, and my heart is filled with joy. Why is my heart filled with joy? Because I'm trusting him with all my heart, and I'm filled with joy because the Lord has given me strength. All right? Then it says, I burst out in songs of thanksgiving. I mean, you know, because he's filled my heart with joy. I'm joyful. Even when it doesn't seem that we should be joyful, I'm still happy. I'm happy because God is with me. I mean, like, you know, when Greg was saying, well, what do you have to say? Well, you know, I'm happy because I'm here, because you know what? God provided a way. God provided a way. And God will always provide a way if we'll let him. You know, sometimes, here's the thing, we have what we expect. And sometimes we expect it to be hard. You know, but how many times have you had a situation where maybe something's happening at work or whatever, or maybe that there was, you woke up that morning, you had a situation that you had to handle, and you thought it was going to be hard. You thought there was going to be a lot of griping and complaining. And I mean, you just pictured, you probably couldn't hardly sleep the night before. You're picturing in mind, this is going to be a hard situation. This is going to, you know, this not going to be easy to talk to this person or whatever. And then when you get to the situation, it's not as bad as you thought it was. You worried about something that you didn't really have to worry about. But here's what God is saying. You know what? If you put me in control, you can quit worrying about your situations. You can get worried about how hard it's going to be, because, you know, it's not about your strength. It's not about what you can do. It's about putting your strength in me. And instead of, you know, crying about it, you can have joy. You know, the Bible says this about joy unspeakable, full of glory. It's unspeakable because, you know, you can't really describe why you have joy, because a lot of people in your situation doesn't have joy. But it doesn't really matter. I mean, I always have the attitude, no matter what happens, it doesn't matter, that God is in control. My God will provide. Will provide an answer. And you know, I'm going to get through this situation. It doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter what kind of diagnosis, you know, somebody says. It doesn't really matter what kind of bill that I have. You know, God will provide. He's going to provide for me. Yeah, maybe I didn't plan to have this situation or that situation, you know, but you know what? God's going to provide because he loves me that much. He cares about me that much. But you know what? If I start worrying about how am I going to do it myself, he can't provide for me, because I'm not asking to provide. I'm trying to ask myself, how do I fix it? And I think that's one of the biggest problems that Christians have. They're trying to figure out how they're going to fix their situation instead of turning their thought life and all their problems over to God, and say, God, here, this is my situation. Here's where I'm at. You know, I need help. You take care of it. You know, and at that point, whenever God's taking care of it, then you can have one of those moments. That's when you can have joy in the middle of your problems, because you're not in control anymore. You've turned it over to God and said, God, you've got to take care of it. Because, you know, the Bible says when you're weak, he's strong. But here's the deal. You're always weak and he's always strong. You know, you might feel that you have all the answers, but you don't. There's going to be situations you face you might not you have the answers to. And now, you don't have the answer to. Now, maybe you have all the answers on paper, but all the answers on paper isn't all the answers. You know, there are sometimes variables that you didn't think were going to happen. Because if we just live life on paper, then we wouldn't even have to watch sporting events. Because we already know who's going to win. Because on paper, this team is a better team than that team. So let's just give them the win and not even play. That way, no one has to get hurt. People don't have to get their feelings hurt. We already know you're going to win. You know, if that was the case, then we would never have any sporting events. We would just, beforehand, and, it wouldn't really matter. But you know what? We don't live life on paper. Things happen we weren't planning on. I don't care how much you budget. I don't care how much you plan. I don't care if you have a 10-year plan, a 20-year plan, a 5-year plan, a 2-month plan, a 1-month plan, or a 1-week plan. Things happen you weren't planning on. The reason they happen is because the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy from you. And Jesus told us that a long time ago. He said, you know what? No matter what you plan, and the devil is out to kill, steal, and destroy from you, trying to destroy your plans, but I'm still God, I'm still here, and I have came that you might have an abundant life regardless of how mean the devil is, regardless of what he puts in your way, regardless of how many traps that he gives to you. I'm still here, and if you'll trust in me, you can have an abundant life. But if you're going to try to figure out for yourself, this is not Jesus' word, this is Craig's word, if you're trying to figure out yourself, and you're trying to do it your way, you're not going to have an abundant life. But if just trust in me, saith the Lord. Trust in me and you're going to see what I want you to be. But if you don't trust in him and try to do things in your own strength, they never work out. Because it's not about your strength, it's about his. It's not about your joy, it's about having joy in him. Now, James 1:2 is one of my favorite scriptures, speaking of joy. And it says, New Living Translation says this: Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. And I like the way this says, consider it an opportunity. See, at that point in time, when you have troubles and trials come your way, you have to decide whether you're going to have joy or whether you're going to cry about it, get depressed about it, yell about it, gripe about it, blame somebody else about it, or whatever. All right? But if you'll decide that the Lord is your strength, you can have joy in the middle of the worst times it seems. You can have joy. Because, see, you have to choose to have joy in the Lord. You know what? I can have joy because it's going to work out. See, my attitude is, it always works out. Well, why does it always work out? Because God says so. It says, if you'll trust in me, it's always going to work out. But if you're trying to put your faith in yourself, see, that's one thing. We don't have to put our faith in our own self. It's not your responsibility to make things work. Jesus never said, okay, it's your responsibility to move the mountain. He says, just talk to it. Just command it to move. He didn't tell you to move it. He says, first of all, put your faith in the Lord. And then command it to move. Don't command it to move on your own strength. It's not about your strength. The joy of the Lord is not in your strength. The joy of the Lord is in his strength. In his might. In his ability. It's not about your strength, your might, or your ability. Because if you're putting trust in your strength, your might, and your ability, you're not going to have a whole lot of joy. Because your joy is not going to be in the Lord. Your joy is going to be in, well, it might work. Hopefully it does. Some people say, I'm a hoping and a praying. Well, hoping and a praying is not believing that it's already happened for you. See, faith is believing that it's already happened. Hoping and a praying is that, I'm hoping that something's going to happen. It's going to change it. You know what? Hoping and a praying is not saying to a mountain, move. Well, I just hope and a pray this mountain's going to move. If I give enough money, if I'm just a good enough Christian, no, it's not. There's no ifs. If you put your trust in the Lord, it's going to have to move. If you're trying to just, you know, well, you know, if I just be good enough, it's not you be about you being good enough. It's about you taking authority and taking advantage of what you've been given. You've been given authority to speak to a mountain. You've been given authority to speak to your situations. And when situations come and it looks like, you know, that it's not really a good time, then you have a choice. And I found out that this is when you have a choice to get depressed, to get upset, or to say, you know what? It doesn't matter because my God's in control. I'm just going to laugh it off. I'm just going to be happy because, you know, I'm going to be happy anyhow. Now, Keith Moore, a lot of you know Keith Moore as a minister, but you know, around Rhema, Keith Moore, he wrote a lot of songs. A lot of songs, so a lot of Brother Hagin's messages. And one song he had was Hallelujah Anyhow. Never let your problems get you down. And it was kind of based upon this verse. You know, we have to just praise God anyhow. Even when it seems that we have problems, situations, circumstances that are coming against us, we need to understand that problems, situations, and circumstances are going to come against us because the devil is still out to get you. But in spite of your problems, your situations, and your circumstances, you can still put your trust in God, and God can still cause you to triumph if you put your trust and faith in Him. If you don't, you're going to have problems, situations, and circumstances overtake you, and you know, you're just going to be rolled up by your problems. You know, this verse goes on to say, if you continue on, it says, "For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. From when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you." And that's one thing I've never figured out when people say, "Well, I don't know what to do in this situation." Well, the Bible clearly tells us we need wisdom. Just ask. And He's not only going to give you a little bit of wisdom, He's going to give you it generously. So do you not expect that scripture to work in your life or not? Or, you know, if you need wisdom, ask. Now, obviously, if you need anything, you can ask. But this scripture tells us for sure we can ask for wisdom. It says, "He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask Him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is like an unsettled, as a wave of the sea that's blown and tossed by the wind. And such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord." And so, you know what? Whenever we ask the Lord, we ask in faith, knowing that it's done in the name of Jesus. See, there's no question in your mind whether it's going to be done or not. If your faith is in God, it's going to be done. I know it's going to be done because the Bible says so. It says, "Ask what you will and it shall be done." Well, I will that this problem is solved. That's what my will is. And it says, "Ask what you will and it shall be done." So I'm asking, Lord, and You're going to do it. And because You're doing it for me, I can rejoice and be glad in the middle of my problem. I can count it all joy. I can have joy when other people in the facing with the same situation wouldn't be too joyful because it would seem that there is no way out. It seemed that there's no way they're going to make it. I want to finish off with Philippians 4, Philippians, the fourth chapter. It says this, verse 4 says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord." It says, always be full of joy in the Lord. So you see, we have to always be joyful in all times. Not just be joyful whenever it's, you know, a happy time. There's always seasons to be happy, but it says always be joyful in the Lord. Always. Always means so if you're not happy all the time, then there's an issue. The issue is your strength is not in the Lord. The issue is you're letting things bother you. Now, okay, we're not all perfect. I'm going to say that right off the bat. We're not all perfect. There are going to be some times we're not happy because we let our fleshly man dominate us instead of putting the flesh under. Okay? But what should happen is whenever something happens and we are not happy, that at some point in time, you have to realize, hey, you know what? I don't have to be like this. I don't have to be not happy. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength, and so if I put my strength in the Lord, I can be happy. So at some point in time, the light bulb needs to go on, and that's why we have to have messages like this. So at some point in time, even whenever, you know, I get it. You know, we're all human beings. Hopefully everyone here is a human being. I asked the church in Broken Arrow, I said, how many here are human? Only 10% of them raised their hand. So I'm not going to ask you. I'm just assuming that everyone here is human, okay? I'm assuming we don't have any androids or you know, anyone here from outer space. You know, there might be a few of you or whatever, but you know, but I'm not going to ask because, you know, last time I asked, only 10% of the congregation raised their hand, and I was really flabbergasted, and it made me, you know, I couldn't even preach the rest of the sermon because I kept thinking about, what are these people doing? You don't think you're a human being? So I'm just going to assume that we have 100% of us here that are human beings born on Earth, all right, you know, and we weren't born on the planet Mars or Venus or any, no wonder what, you know, you read books or whatever, you're still not from that planet, you're from Earth, you're an Earthling, you know, maybe you watch a lot of science fiction TV, but, you know, doesn't matter, just because you watch TV programs like that, you're from Earth, okay, you're human, you're not half android or half whatever, anyway. But human beings, sometimes, you know, we just be human. We let our human emotions rule us sometimes. You know, don't get all upset about it, but, you know, we do it. We've all done it. We've all got mad. We all didn't really practice our love walk or whatever. And my point is, at some point in time, you know, the quicker you can actually see it, and it's hard. See, what happens is, your husband or wife can't tell you because then you just get mad at them. You got to see it for yourself, usually. All right. But the sooner you see that, you know what, I'm actually speaking out of my emotions and not what the Bible says. You know, or I'm speaking, you know, what a doctor says or what, you know, a lawyer says or whatever. Because, you know, we all know facts. I mean, the facts say this. But you know what? What does God say? I mean, just because the fact says, you know, there is no way, God says, you know what? You know, the things that are possible with man are possible with God. Put your faith in God instead of in man. All right? And so, I get it. You know, when people go to the doctor and they get a bad report, human emotions sometimes take over and, you know, instead of, you know, deciding, hey, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm putting my faith in God. They start crying and getting depressed and things like that. And, you know, that doesn't help you. But I understand why we do it. Okay? And so at some point in time, you're going to have to say, you know what? I'm going to put my faith in God. You know, and if you have trouble trying to figure that one out, just pull your money out and read the back. In God we trust. All right, I mean, you know, so at least for now, it's on your money and hopefully forever. But for now, if you're, live in the United States, it's on the back of your money. It says, in God we trust. And if you happen to have really good eyesight or a magnifying glass, you can see it on your coins too. You know, but some of us have a little trouble with that right now, so. You know, maybe you can see it. Now, I know, you know, you say, well, I can see it, but you just know it's there. You can't really see it. You just know it actually says that there because someone told you it did. Or whenever you were 12, you could read it. You know, because there are a lot of things sometimes we don't always, can't always, you know, see as good. And we say we did, but, you know, we believe God for better eyesight. Amen. But, you know, the thing is, quit getting all upset and have joy in the middle of your situations. But here in Philippians 4:4, it says, always be full of joy. If you're always full of joy, then you're not ever going to be upset. Do you realize that? Now, I understand some people are thinking, man, this person's weird. They're always happy. There's something wrong with them. You know, and, you know, but if you always know that God's on your side, you can always be happy in every situation. And what's interesting is, it says, always be full of joy. And then he says, I say it again, rejoice. See, rejoice meaning, you know, you have to have joy again. You know, that's re and joy. All right, joy meaning, so You need to rejoy. You know, because sometimes when you haven't had joy in a long time, you need to rejoy. Decide, you know what? I'm just going to be happy about it. It's all okay. You know, sometimes you have to have those words, it'll all be okay. You know, that's the way I believe. It's all going to be okay. God's in control. You know, there was an individual one time, one of our Rama graduates came to Rama, and then he was associate pastor of the church. The pastor retired, and he took over the church, and he came back, you know, one time at one of our special meetings, and I talked to him, and I could tell he's just really down because the church had a lot of bills and stuff. And you know, I asked him, I said, well, how's things going? And he said, well, Craig, really, you know, I'm not going to give you a faith statement. I want to tell you really how it is. Really how it is, you know, you tell me about some situations in the church. And, you know, I have preached for him a couple of times. And so I didn't say this by any kind of divine inspiration, but I just said, you know what? It'll all be okay. Well, he said at that moment, he took the words that I said. Now, see, people are a lot of times waiting for someone, give me a word from the Lord. And it was a word from the Lord because it is from the Bible. It's all going to be okay. But it was simply a word that I said. But, you know, because I said it, he said he took a hold of those words that I said. And, I mean, it was just one of these pre-service, you know, shake hands thing. You know, I hadn't prayed about it. I had, you know, it wasn't thus saith the Lord, it's all going to be okay. I just said, it'll all be okay. And he took those words and he said, and it wasn't 6 weeks. 6 weeks later, something divinely happened in his church that not only paid all the bills, he was able to actually completely pay the church off and actually had a couple $100,000 in the bank because they had just a divine thing. And they got $500,000 that came in. So he went from contemplating working a second job, or that time he wasn't having to work, to being able to put some people on staff. You know, I mean, that's one of those situations where pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I mean, God not only met his needs, you know, he gave him more than enough. You know, and that's what the Bible says, that God wants us to do with us too. And, you know, it all happened, and he later on, you know, he wrote me and gave a testimony and says, it all started because I gave him the words, it'll all be okay. So because I gave him words, and those were just words of mine, that it wasn't one of these, thus saith the Lord, but you know, that was what the Bible says is all going to be okay. And he hung on that, and God just really knocked the socks off. Hallelujah. More than he could ask or think. I mean, and it came from a situation that he had never even considered that it would happen. And you know, it really was just amazing. But that's what our God is. Our God is amazing. And if we'll get the attitude, you know what, it's all going to be okay. We can be happy in the middle of our situation. You know, it's all going to be okay. Don't worry about it. Put your joy in the Lord. Just be strong. Be happy. You know, it goes on to say, it says, let everyone see that you are considering all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. And then it says, don't worry about anything. See, if it's all okay, you don't have to worry about anything. Because, you know, what happens a lot of times whenever we're putting our trust in God, you know, it seems that before things get better, it seems it gets worse physically. It seems that situations happen. You're like, man, you know, there's a law called Murphy's Law. You know, if anything that could go wrong does. And so sometimes whenever you're in the middle of what I call a faith battle, you know, you already had this happen, then all of a sudden, boom, the devil piles on. It's kind of like a football play, you know, you're getting tackled by one guy, next thing you know, three other guys pile on top of you. So, you know, instead of being under one guy, now you're under four guys. And so sometimes we feel like that, you know, the devil piles on, but you know what? It doesn't matter, you know, because we don't have to worry about what somebody says. We don't have to worry about our situation, you know, so don't worry about anything. But it goes on to say, instead, pray about everything. Instead of worrying about anything, pray about everything. All right, it goes on to say, tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then, see, when you tell God, say, God, This is what I need. I'm going through this situation. But you know what? Regardless, I'm still happy about it. Regardless, I'm not worrying about it. But this is my problem. This is what I'm going through. You know what? Not only is this what I need, I just want to thank you, Father, right now for providing for things in my past and providing, you know, that I'm at this situation, that you put me here. You know what? And I know you have everything under control. But it says, if you tell God what you need, you're not worried about anything, but praying about everything, then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. It says, goes on to say, his peace will guard your heart and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And so when we have the peace of God, it's easy to have joy because we're not worried about anything. You know, people are usually pretty happy when they're not worried about problems. You know, they're pretty happy. I mean, you know, if everyone, you know, walked out the door and we gave everyone $1 million to walk out the door, I think everyone would leave happy. And if you didn't leave happy, you deserve to be slapped. Okay? But my point is that what we have is better than $1 million. We have Jesus Christ. You know, and so sometimes, you know, you can never put a value on what we really have. But what we have is all the answers, you know. And if you don't remember that, you used to or probably have sung a song, Jesus is the answer for the world today. Above him, there is no other. Jesus is the way. Anyone ever sing that? All right. I mean, you know, we've sung that. But do we believe what we sing? Like when you sing praise and worship, do you really believe what the words you speak? Or are you just doing it because everybody else is? Do you really believe that Jesus is the answer? Do you really believe that he's solving all your problems? Because he is the answer. Because at his name, the demons tremble. I mean, that's pretty spectacular that, you know what, the name of Jesus, by using his name, demons tremble. Because demons are something we can't, you know, really see. All right, well, maybe they've manifested, you know, sometimes in their own vision, but that's, you know, you can't even see it. But you know what? The devil's afraid because we have the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, our situation is taken care of. And see, we can understand that what we have is worth more than $1 million. I mean, you wouldn't sell the opportunity to use the name of Jesus for $1 million because it's worth a whole lot more than $1 million. And so we should walk out happy because what we have is greater than any kind of financial, you know, money or financial amount that we could ever have. Because we have an answer to everything. His name is Jesus. When we put our trust in him, then we can have joy. We can have peace. We can move forward, even when everybody else is facing the same situations, don't know what to do. But you know what to do. You know, forget about what you're going to do about it and put your trust in him. Let him take care of every situation you're going through. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for each and every person that's here tonight. And we thank you, Father, right now that you're with each and every one of us. But Father God, we thank you to help us whenever we're facing our situations, our circumstances, to help us to remember that the Lord is our strength and we can put our trust in him. Help us to remember that Jesus is the answer to anything that we'll ever face and that he did come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. And Father God, help us to understand, you know, if we have situations where first our fleshly desires come out. We just thank you that you'll just arrest us and not put us in jail, but help us understand that we need to change the way we talk, change the way we act, change you know what we say, and when we do, we'll see a difference. We can just walk in the joy of the Lord, in the peace of the Lord. And Father God, we thank you. If anyone is here does not know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, that tonight, that they'll come home. Well, if they've been away from God or they need to be saved for the first time, that they'll be saved tonight with heads bowed and eyes closed. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you're here and you say, Craig, man, I want to rededicate my life to God. I've kind of been doing my own thing, but I want to come back and rededicate my life to God. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you. Or maybe you happen to be here and you say, Craig, I've heard you guys talk about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and I'm saved. I'm going to heaven, but I've never been filled with the Holy Spirit. Tonight, I want to be. If that's you, lift your hand. We want to pray with you across the auditorium. I don't see any hands. Heavenly Father, we thank you. If anyone is here that's not saved, we thank you, Father, that you're sending laborers across our path on a daily basis. And we thank you, Father, for helping them come to the saving knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Let's all stand up. If you're here tonight and you need healing in your body, come on down here. We want to minister God's healing power to you. We've had many, many testimonies right here in this church. We prayed for people and you know, just some great testimonies. Anyone need healing in their body? Come on down here. Anybody else? I mean, that's what we're here for. Just step over here, man. We're here to make sure you're healed. Amen. I mean, there's no reason to leave this place sick. Amen. So if you've been sick, I mean, whatever it might be, either I don't care how small it is or how big it is. I don't care if you have the flu or if you have AIDS. It doesn't matter, because God wants to minister to you. Amen. Amen. Well, just reach your hands out toward her. I just want to ask you to close your eyes. Lift both hands toward heaven. I want you to think about Jesus and your healing. Father God, we just thank you right now for the healing power of God flowing into her body. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, that's it right there. That's it right there. The healing power of God is moving right now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. If you've never seen anyone fall into the power, falling does not heal you. What happened? Well, what happened? Well, sometimes, you know, when the power of God hits you, I mean, your natural body can't stand because the power of God's so strong. It's okay. So some people think, well, I got to fall down to get healed. No, you don't. You don't have to fall down to get healed. My grandfather's talking about it. I prayed for a whole line and everyone fell except for one, and that one person got healed. Then I prayed for another line and you know, it was just the opposite. Falling doesn't heal you. You know, the reason we fall is because, you know, your natural man can't handle the supernatural power of God when it hits you. I mean, there's sometimes you can feel it. You touch someone and it goes all through their body. And some of you, I'm sure you felt that, you know, before when you've been ministered to. You. Amen. Amen. Well, a couple of things. First of all, if you're a first-time visitor, we're glad to have you tonight. We just want to encourage you to come back here. If you're looking for a home church, we say welcome home. You know, not only do we have services here on Sunday nights, on Sunday morning and Wednesday night, you can watch us live online from Broken Arrow at rhema.tv. But if you're a first-time visitor, just lift your hand and we have a gift for you. We have a team right here. Just go with our team members right here. They're going to take you and give you that gift. All right. Also, if you want to help out with the door hangers coming up on October 29th, come and talk to Greg and we can get the things going. If you're thinking about coming to the men's conference, you can talk to Glenn about that. Amen. Don't forget, next week we're going to start early because, you know, you can come late, but you don't get to eat. You know, so you don't want to miss food, okay? I mean, you know, and I mean, next week might be an easy week to bring someone. Hey, why don't you come to church? Because they're going to feed you first, and you know, first they're going to feed you naturally, then they're going to feed you spiritually afterwards. But we're going to have our anniversary Sunday next week, amen. Well, praise God. You know how we dismiss around here? That Dan will sing a song. Give me time to get back to the door back there. If you don't want to shake my hand, then go out that door, because I'm going to be back at that door. Amen. God bless you guys. Take care. And we'll see you back here next Sunday night.